It has been a while since I've been able to share with you on a Sunday night. And I don't know if you can reach back in your memories to what we were talking about. I believe back the last week of November, actually, we were in a series entitled The Prophecy and the Christian. And the last passage that we were looking at was Matthew chapter 24. And so I invite you to go ahead and turn there. In Matthew chapter 24, where we looked at Jesus and the prophecies that he put forth, but emphasized his instruction to his disciples. And you remember, he said that, if you're looking at Matthew 24, verse 4, he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." All right, so be not led astray. And then you see in verse 6, "And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, be not alarmed." These were imperatives in this passage that kind of stand out as things that Jesus is emphasizing for his followers, for this group of disciples that had asked this question, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?" So they ask these questions, and Jesus' response is, don't allow yourself to be deceived. Also, don't be alarmed. So with those being his initial instructions, he then proceeds to give a kind of just a basic outline of what is going to come to be. And he talks about wars, he talks about natural events such as earthquakes and famines. He talks about afflictions and how many will come against the Jewish people. He talks about the desecration of the temple. He talks about false teachers and antichrists that will arise and be among the people. And he goes through all of these things, but I'd like us, I'm not going to go through all of those things in detail, but we're going to come all the way down to verse 32. Because prophecy in the Christian, the question is this: how are we as Christians to approach our day, knowing that Jesus is coming again, knowing that there is an end that is coming, that it involves Jesus and his appearance, that it involves great judgments. We know the book of Revelation and what it says. Well, how are we to approach these things? We know that Jesus, he emphasized with the disciples, don't be led astray, don't be alarmed. And I believe those are very important attitudes that we also should keep in mind. You know, we should have a bearing, and that bearing is truth, not lies and deception. I mean, that emphasizes for us the importance of staying close to the Word of God, doesn't it? Because that's our bearing. That's how we know whether we are where we need to be and living the way we should. Not being alarmed helps us realize that we're not to be living under our pillows, just afraid every day of what's going to be happening. Well, then, what is a positive attitude that we should put into place in our lives? We know how we should not be, not deceived, not alarmed. Well, Jesus emphasizes something in this passage. We're going to do some broad strokes tonight throughout the New Testament. So kind of hang on here, and hopefully we'll have enough time to accomplish all of this. Verse 32 of chapter 24. "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." This is a parable of the fig tree. You know, you see when it's putting forth its green shoots, you know that summer is near. So in other words, there are signs, there are things that will alert you to my coming, that it's near. jump then down to verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And here, this phrase, watch, is, I believe, a very key phrase for us as Christians. We see Jesus emphasizing it here in the Gospels. But this is carried through, this attitude is carried through into Paul's epistles and even into Peter. Watch, therefore, verse 42, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So the coming of the Son of Man is what is being looked for and anticipated, and the attitude is watch. Watch. Well, what does that mean? Watch. As I was thinking about that, I think about what it's like in my home when Nani and Jopa are coming. And there is just incredible anticipation for their arrival. And they in our home, our children are asking, when are they going to be here? When are they going to come? And they finally coerce us to call. And we get an estimated time of arrival. And so what time is it? What time is it? And as that time approaches, what happens? All the children rush to that side of the house, to that window, where they know they're going to see their grandparents coming. And they stand there and they watch. Now, of course, we're watching this as parents from the perspective of being in the home, watching these things take place. The ones that are coming, Nani and Jopa in that case, they're coming and they're anticipating seeing their grandchildren watching. And what we can learn from Jesus' instruction here is that watching is a state of readiness and anticipation for his coming. Key parts of that are readiness and anticipation. Anticipating, in other words, knowing that it's coming. Knowing that he will arrive. He will come. That is a key teaching and doctrine of Christianity, the second coming of Christ. The readiness is really the focus that we're going to tonight. This we see here with Jesus talking about in a house, the good man of a house, if he would have known when the thief would have come, he would have been ready and he wouldn't have suffered his house to be broken into. There's an alertness. So, as Jesus talks about watching, this alertness and this readiness is important. People can watch for Jesus' coming, yet their lives could be in shambles. In other words, they're probably not believers, but yet they might look for his coming, but they're not ready. And you look through some of Jesus' parables and you see some of these warnings to the Jewish people. Are you ready? Are you ready for his coming? They're watching, but they don't believe in who he is. They are not ready. This is the very warning that Jesus is giving the Jews in his Gospels. He wants his people to be busy about his work. Look at verse 45 of this same passage, Matthew 24. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Doing. The attitude that Jesus is emphasizing here is not an attitude of just watching and standing still and not doing anything, but just watching. No, watching here is an alertness, but it is an action and doing something. What? What the master has said to do. It is a way of life that we as believers have been called to live. But we live that life in a state of alertness and readiness for his coming. So watching is not just standing at a window. But watching is making sure the bedroom is ready. Making sure that the table is set. Making sure that the mudroom is cleaned of all the boots so that Nani and Joe Paul can get in without tripping. You see, there's action in this watching. And this action is the doing the things the master has said to do. A life lived with this perspective is a life that is pleasing to our coming Lord. So let's just summarize what we've learned so far from Matthew 24. A life lived according to truth and not deception. Jesus is emphasizing that in verse 4. He emphasizes a heart that is trusting in his word and what he says will be true. In other words, don't be alarmed. Verse 6. Verses 42 through 44, having a mind that is anticipating his coming. Verses 42 to 44. And then verses 45 to 51, a diligence about his business. Some other passages that speak to this, you find there are some companion passages to this. Mark chapter 13. Verses 33 through 37, and you may turn there. I will read them, make a few comments, and move on. But Mark 13, verses 33 through 37 say this, take you heed, watch, and pray. For you know not when the time is, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I think this is an important lesson that Jesus is emphasizing. And each of these Gospels emphasize, watch. But in these contexts, you understand that this watching is just not standing still looking out a window. It's an attitude of anticipation and readiness. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 26. Luke chapter 12 and verse 36, verse 36. And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Notice, watch, be ready. Watch, be ready. And then Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. I love that addition there, that you might escape the things to come and stand before. That's the alternative that we have, that we are able to stand before the Son of Man. Watch, therefore, and pray always. You see in this text take heed to yourselves. This emphasis, this is attitude, as you're watching, you are paying careful attention to your life, that your life not be weighed down, such as having a hangover or in drunkenness, in cares of this life, so that day come upon you and you aren't ready. Now, these are all in the Gospels, but each one of these spoken emphasize an attitude of being ready and anticipation. Watch. Now, we as a church, is this true for us? Can we take what Jesus is saying here in the Gospels? Do we find it in the epistles? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Turn in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. So the question is, during Jesus' day, he's speaking of a coming time, and you have to be ready and anticipating and watching. Do the apostles who wrote the epistles recognize this time, and is it time to be watching? Is it time that we are to be anticipating this? I think the epistles make this very clear. Romans chapter 13. Notice, now, in context, again, very important. Here in the end of the book of Romans, Paul is exhorting the believers on how to live in their evil culture. And he is emphasizing some very specific things. And as he does that, he comes down here to verse 11 and he says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on," these are the imperatives here, "but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." So how is it that the epistles interpret this attitude? Do they carry the same urgency? Yes, they do. We see this as Paul writes here to the Romans, to the church in Rome. Now's the time. The day is at hand. Wake up out of your sleep and your slumber. And notice here, as we see the attitude of watching, what is this state of readiness look like? Well, we see a certain way of living, don't we? We see a putting off and we see a putting on. And Paul's good about that. He tells us to put off certain things and to put on others. We see him here telling us, cast off works of darkness, things that are of evil, of the evil one. Put on the armor of light. And we as believers, this is the way we are to be dressed every day, bearing the armor of light. So as we walk in the dark world, this armor speaks clearly of our identity. It speaks clearly of Christ, who is the light of the world. We also see here that we are to walk honestly or decently, as in the day. I believe we all understand that daylight is something that is, well, usually it is intimidating to the criminal, and they usually wait for the cover of darkness to do their deeds. We are to be walking honestly as in the day. We are to be living as people of integrity, as in the day. Notice it says, as in the day. We're not in the day, but we are to be living as if we are in the day, wide open for all to see we are true followers of Jesus. Of course, he gives this list, not in rioting, not drunkenness, not chambering, which is a sleeping in bed, possibly it could mean sexual immorality, not in wantonness, which is unbridled lust or excess to the fullest, strife, envying. But then we have the imperatives in verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh. So Christian, what is our attitude as we approach the reality that that prophecy tells us Jesus is coming again? What is our attitude that we are to have? We are to watch with anticipation, knowing it's coming, and a readiness, a life that is lived wholly and purely before the Lord. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provisions for the flesh. That is hard to do, isn't it? The flesh is strong. And the flesh is who we are, naturally. We so need the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to have the right perspective and the right attitude. We can't lose sight of him. Some other passages that bear in this direction truth are 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm not going to go to these passages, except suffice it to say that they speak of an attitude of watchfulness, of a sober attitude, of a sound mind. To close our time together, we're going to give an exhortation from the epistle of 1 John. And as you're turning there, these are very important things, for in our day and age, as we've talked about already in this series, there are many perspectives and attitudes concerning prophetic things. And I believe what God is seeking to tell us tonight is how we are, the attitude we are to have in this day. Not to be deceived, not to be alarmed, but to be watchful. What is it that you as parents are going to tell your children? How are they to approach this day? They're growing up in an increasingly evil generation. What is their attitude to be? Jesus is coming again. Well, what does that mean? How do I live? You live with a watchfulness. You watch for him. But you know what? As you watch for him, believe he's coming and realize he's watching you. And what will he find you doing? when he comes. And this is the perspective that John brings to mind here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Who? Jesus. That when he shall appear. Now that's a physical appearance. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I think we understand what that means, don't we? I mean, he is coming, and this is how we are to be, the state we ought to be in. Abiding in him so that when he comes, we can stand before him with confidence and not shame, not wishing that we hadn't been doing that or wishing we were doing something else, looking over our shoulder. Christians, live outright for God without shame. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Is this true of you? Jesus is perfectly righteous. He was the exact representation. He was God, and he represented the perfect life lived on earth. Just as God desired, Jesus lived it. One that doeth righteousness is born of him. So behold, chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You have an identity, and it is because of the love of God that you have this identity. You are his children. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Are you a stranger in the world? Or are you blending in? The world should look at us and say, there's something about you I don't get. I don't understand. They don't know Christ. They won't understand the way you live. Introducing them to Christ by your life that is lived differently. Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, it's not if he shall appear, it's when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Listen, church, we will see Jesus again, or we'll see him. We've not seen him yet, I guess, but we will see him in person, face to face. Now, verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's the application. You've got this kind of attitude, it can do nothing else but cause your life to be pure. It has that effect when you have this watchfulness with anticipation and readiness. It has a purifying effect because you know he's coming and you know you want to stand before him with confidence and without shame. Does that mean I always have to be ready? Does that mean I always should be seeking to please God? It does. It does. Praise God for his forgiveness, huh? For his conviction of his spirit. Because none of us do this perfectly, do we? But God has given us that beautiful thing of forgiveness, remission in his blood, that we might stand before him without shame. And when he comes, we have confidence. And so, Christian, in this day and age when prophecy is swirling all around us, Yes, there is prophecy. That is very, very true. God's word declares it. Don't be deceived, though. Don't be alarmed. But rather, have an attitude of watchfulness, anticipating His coming. It's going to happen, with a readiness to see Him.